angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you, God. We pray that you bless the reading of your word. That, Father, that you would open up our hearts and minds tonight, that you speak to us, God. Holy Spirit, we give you full liberty in this place, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can give your neighbor a high five. Go ahead and have a seat here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you guys are ready for World Conference? I cannot wait. I'm counting down the days. It's going to be such an awesome, awesome time. There is still time. Make sure if you're not planning to go to World Conference that you try to make a way. It's going to be historical. God's going to speak in a powerful way. There's nothing like conference. I've been in Victory Outreach now for around 15 years or so, and I can't wait from conference to conference to conference. I cannot wait for conference because it's so amazing. God speaks, so make sure that you try to get there. So tonight, I am going to be speaking. Gideon is just going to be my springboard here. But I want to talk to you about being a hero. Now, how many know that lately we've seen like an influx in superhero movies, right? How many of you guys like superhero movies? I love superhero movies. You know, superheroes, superhero movies. I love movies that maybe even not a superhero, but it has like a hero in it. You know what I mean? Because when you're watching the movie, then you're kind of like, think, man, maybe that could be me. Maybe one, you know, maybe, you know I can't fly around or whatever, but then, you know, I'm not an alien like Superman or whatever. But then you think, like, you know, Batman, he doesn't really have any real superpowers. You know, he has, like, you know, gadgets and gizmos and all kinds of stuff. Was that old word, gizmos? He has gizmos. Everybody over 30 got that. We're good. So you start talking about superhero movies. And you begin to think about the greatest superhero of all time. The number one greatest. I mean, Superman, like, he saved the world a few times, right? You know, and you see, like, the different superheroes. But there's only one person that saved everyone for all time. Right? I'm not talking about saving the world today. I'm talking about saving the world every day for the last 2,000 years, ever since he went to the cross and he died and he bled for us. He didn't just save it one day or 2 days or yesterday or tomorrow, but he died for every person that has ever lived and ever will live. Jesus Christ is the greatest superhero of all time. And, you know, the Bible says for us to be imitators of Christ. And when I read that, when I think about being an imitator of Christ, how to imitate a superhero, how to imitate someone that's so great, and I believe that God has called each and every one of us to be heroes in our own lives. To be heroes in our own lives. But every superhero has a supervillain. I'm talking about that low-down and dirty devil, right? So superhero, supervillain. We see that the Bible even says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. So the enemy comes, we see his agenda. We see the agenda of the devil is to steal, kill, and destroy. And this tells me that the devil is a straight criminal. Right? I said he's dirty. He's low down and dirty. He's a thief. I said the devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. But what does the devil really want to steal? See, the devil wants to steal who God made you to be. You begin to think about the very first case of identity theft. And I can think of some people in here that might know a few things about identity theft. It's the fastest growing crime in America, right? But it didn't just start now. It started way back in the garden, where there was a identity theft, where the devil confused and tricked. He pulled out his bag of tricks and he confused Adam and Eve to doing something that they shouldn't do that was outside the character of God. They tricked him into becoming somebody and something that they were never created to be. And since then, and that's why God had to send his only son, is so we can get our identity back. But you see, we were never meant to be the low down, jiving, conniving, tore up from the floor up people that we were. We were never created. It was never supposed to be that we were supposed to be locked up. Come on, somebody. We were in the gutter with the crack pipes and needles and the alcohol bottles. That wasn't who God created us to be. But thank God that Jesus came and rescued us. And so now we can stand as men and women of God, as the people God has created us to be the heroes. The heroes of this generation. The heroes of our world. The heroes at your workplace or your school. The heroes in your family, as the beacon of light in your community and neighborhoods. We're called to be heroes. Now going back to Judges chapter 6, we see that once again the great villain was at work. He had confused and tricked the people of God, the people of Israel, into for them to believe that they were something that they weren't. They were hiding out, on the run, on the down low. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever been on the run before? Am I in the right place? Gideon was on the run. Hiding out, right? Doing Movidas. Come on, somebody. He wasn't supposed to be threshing that wheat in that wine press. That's a Movida right there, for you guys that don't know what Movidas are. And then the enemy had them all confused. He believed that he was the weakest and the least. And see, the enemy would love to come in and begin to tell us those things. Some of you, your entire life, people have been telling you that you're the weakest and the least. Some of you have been told that you're no good for nothing, that you'll never be nobody. Even when you look at our past records, our history, and you can even say up to now, many of us, I can say we don't have high school diplomas and we dropped out and never went to college and we come from different backgrounds and neighborhoods where people might even, if they just saw the history, if they just read the history book of our lives, they might even think that we were nobodies. But I got something to tell you tonight, that God, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your education, vocabulary level. I'm here to let you know that God has a plan for your life. I say God is in the business of making the foolish things confound the wise. I don't have to give you my testimony at my job. I just happen to be the boss of my job, and I have the lowest level of education. I know that's something weird to clap for, but we clap anyways, because only God. I've always said I might not have a GED, but I got a G-O-D. Come on, somebody. That's ridiculous. But here we see Gideon. He's in the wine press. He's threshing wheat, thinking he's nobody, that he's nothing, thinking he ain't got no future. He's hiding out. And then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord comes and sits down beside them, and he calls them maybe for the very first time. Maybe it's the first time he's ever heard it, and that's how come he didn't recognize it. He was called the very thing that God had created him to be from when he was in his mother's womb. The angel of the Lord says, you mighty hero, you mighty man of valor. Is he getting it? He didn't recognize it because he's never been called that before. That's why when we come to the church and we say things like, you guys are a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, that you're the head and not the tail. Some of you don't know what we're talking about because you ain't never heard it before. But I'm here to let you know tonight that is exactly who God meant for you to be. God didn't create you to smoke crack. God created you to be a hero to your generation. A mighty man of valor. A mighty hero. Right? So here comes the angel of the Lord. He says, Gideon, you're a mighty hero. What he's really saying is, Gideon, don't you think it's time to stop hiding, to quit feel sorry for yourself, and get up there and be the hero that I've called you to be? Don't you think it's time to stop hiding, to stop feeling sorry for yourself, and be the hero that God's called you to be? I'm talking about being a hero tonight. Some of you right now are picturing yourself with a cape. You know that body armor, they even make t-shirts that have like the six packs on them. Steal your identity. Not only does our villain try to steal our identity, he's also a dream killer. Genesis chapter 37, we read of a story of a man named Joseph. And Joseph, he was a young man that had a dream. And in that dream, he showed all of his brothers and even his parents bowing down to him. And see, Joseph had a dream. But then his brothers got very jealous of what that dream meant. And then through the circumstances and the course of time, several things begin to happen to Joseph. You see, first that his brothers had thrown him in the pit, told his father that he was eaten by a wild animal. Then he was sold into slavery. Then he was falsely accused of rape. Then he was sent to prison. You see, all along Joseph's journey, he was still holding on to a dream. And you know what's funny is sometimes we get a dream. We get a vision of our life. And we go through life and then life throws us these curveballs. Right? Life throws us some heavy hits. And then all of a sudden we begin to forget about our dreams. And see, that's one of the tactics of the villain, of the devil. He wants to kill our dreams. Because he knows that if we have a vision, that if we have a vision for our lives, then the vision what it'll do is it'll keep us going. It'll give us a passion. But if he can kill our dream, then he'll kill our passion. So Joseph, through all this trial after trial after trial after trial, he still had a dream. Still had a dream that he was holding on to. And eventually, once he got through the process, see, some of you guys are in the process right now. Some of you guys are in the process of, maybe God has given you a dream. Maybe even right now, maybe you're in the recovery home, or maybe you're holding on to your dream, or maybe you just started coming to church, or maybe you've been in church for 5 or 10 years and you have not yet seen your dream come to pass yet. But I got some news for you, that if you would just hold on to your dream, If you would have faith, see, faith never gives up. If you can have faith to believe for the dream that God gave you, if you can still believe that God has called you to do something great, if you can still believe that God has a calling and a purpose on your life, if you can still believe for the dream that God gave you, if you can still believe, then no matter how hot the fire is, then you're going to come out gold. No matter how hot the fire is, don't worry, you're going to come out gold. Because God's going to turn it around. Come on, somebody. I say, God always turns. It's in His timing and not our timing. Just got to stop hiding. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. And be the hero God has called you to be. Kill, still kill and destroy. He's also in the business of trying to destroy your destiny. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we read of the story when David first became king of Israel. And yeah, he was anointed king a long time ago, but this was the very time that he was made king. And in verse 17 it says, the Philistines heard that David was now king of Israel, and they came into the hill country to try to capture him. But David found out and went into his fortress. So the Philistines camped in Rephaim Valley. David asked the Lord, should I attack the Philistines? Will you let me win? The Lord told David, attack. I will let you win. And David attacked the Philistines and defeated them. Then he said, I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. So we named the place the Lord broke through. I don't know about you, but I can use some breakthrough. Come on, somebody. See, David was in a season of promotion. And the enemy would even try to lie to you. Even when you're in a season of promotion, he'll try to convince you. He'll try to convince you that you don't have a future. He'll try to convince you you don't have a call. Even when God is raising you up. See, God was raising David up. God already made him king. And then here comes the enemy right to his doorstep to try to lie to him. And say, maybe it was all for nothing. Maybe it was all for nothing. Maybe it'll never happen. Maybe this is as far as it goes. See, the enemy shows up just when you're about to get blessed. Come on, somebody. Just shows up. Like Brother Devin said, all of a sudden. All of a sudden, you get blessed, and all of a sudden, here comes the devil. You register for conference, and then all of a sudden, right? All of a sudden, you're like, oh, man, but all my car breaks down, my finances are this, my boss won't give me the time off of work, this happens, that child happens, my honey starts acting funny, my money's funny, everything's funny, but nobody's laughing. Come on, somebody. That's because the enemy wants to come and try to rob your promotion. He wants to try to rob your blessing, rob your breakthrough. Right here when David was made king, what he did is he confided in the Lord, and the Lord broke him through. See, that's what happens when we trust in God. God will always bring us through. If long as we keep our eyes on the Lord. You think about the story when Peter was walking on the water. When Jesus appeared, and then Peter said, if it's you, tell me to come out to you. Now you got to think, it's like, how did Peter walk on the water? Did the water become like solid? Right? Was he like levitating? Is he floating? See, the point is that it's impossible. But when you trust in God, nothing's impossible. It doesn't matter if the water's water. It doesn't matter if he was floating. What matters is it was impossible. And he did it because God is God. And see, it doesn't matter if it looks impossible. It doesn't matter if your situation is impossible. It doesn't. Why? Because God is God. Because God is God. So it's time to stop hiding. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. And be the hero that God has called you to be. You know, it's easy to be a hero in church. If I can get the, I got a little illustration I want to do. You might want to come to the keyboard also. It's easy to be a hero in church. You get like that, you know what I mean? You get like that. Because in church, you know everybody, right? You're like, hey, brother, how you doing? Super blessed. How you doing? Right? What's up, mighty man of valor? Right? What's up, woman of God? Some of your brothers even like, hey, what's up, woman of God? He's like, what's your name, Will? God's will. But it's easy to be like that in church, right? To be a superhero. I got my chairs right here. Everybody see the chairs? So, when I was growing up, how much time do I have? Let's check the clock. We're doing good. When I was growing up, you guys move the pulpit back too? When I was growing up, we had this game we used to play, and it's made a comeback recently. You guys might have seen it on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or YouTube or whatever you guys are on. And what we used to do, because we didn't really have electronics and stuff, is we used to make games up. And one of the games that we made up, and I didn't do it myself, it was already there, not taking credit, was called The Floor is Lava. Right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, I'll have to explain it for those that don't. There's a certain age group that it pertains to, and those that are over, let's explain. Okay, so The Floor is Lava means if someone yells, "The floor is lava," then you had to like jump on something because you can't touch the floor. Because the floor is lava. Everybody on the same page now? We're good. Okay. So, how many of you know that lava is like, it's like molten rock. It's like hot. It's like fire. Right? And fire, like lava is like fire that comes from the world. And that's kind of like the world we live in. Right? We're in a world full of sin, a world full of disaster. We're in a world full of hate, racism. We're in a world full of evil. And that's the world we live in. And as Christians, it's easy to be a superhero when you're in church. Okay, this is me flying like a superhero. I'm going somewhere. Okay, and you notice when you're flying like a superhero, you don't have to touch the floor. And the floor is lava. So if the floor is lava and I don't want to touch the floor because the floor is hot and it's full of sin and it's full of everything evil, but when I'm in church, it's easy for me just to fly around and be the super Christian that I am. There's lava. But how many of you know, in order to be a hero, you can't save yourself? And we can't save each other. We're already saved. And the one thing I know about heroes is they're not supposed to fly away from danger. right? And even though the floor is hot, right? And even though it's uncomfortable to step out and tell someone about Jesus, and even though it's you have to face persecution, right? Oh, persecution. Oh. Right? And even though you have to, like, step out and admit that you're a Christian to your coworkers. Right? Let's just say all you guys are in lava right now. Sorry, you're burning. It's part of the message, though. See, the thing is, when you're a superhero, the one thing about superheroes is they all have something in common. They all have super suits. Right? With sometimes even with accessories. Right? And the one thing about being a Christian is the Bible says that we're supposed to put on our super suit. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. And talks about the full armor of God. Right? And see, the reason why we can walk around on the lava is because we have our armor on. And the one thing about walking on lava is we're able to do that because we have something on our feet that is called the peace that comes with the gospel. Right? We have the gospel. We know that Jesus died and that's why we're saved. The gospel is what gives us the ability to walk around in this hurt and dying world. And for us to be in the world, but not to be of the world. Right? So in essence, as Christians, we are lava walkers. Hashtag t-shirt. Make that up. Right? That is our superpower. Our power is we could walk in the world and not be of the world. And we can, but us being in the world, we have a responsibility. And I want to get a quick demonstration. This is me. This is me walking in the world. And when I'm walking in the world, how many know that your coworkers, your friends, the people at school, you know, they could be on drugs, alcohol, they could be cutting themselves, they could be depressed, they could be caught up in fornication or adultery, all these things. And one of the things about being a superhero is when you see something happening like that, you don't have the privilege to turn your back. Because heroes, they never turn their back. Right? And it's our responsibility if we see a hurting person. See, she can't walk on the floor by herself. She doesn't have the shoes on yet. Right? But it's our responsibility as Christians. It's our responsibility as the heroes of our world in our generation is to bring them into the church, get them off the lava until they get their own shoes. You okay? That's who we're called to be. We're called to be the heroes of this generation. We're called to rescue, to snatch people 1 foot from hell, and to bring them into the church so they could hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You can go and start playing. If you came here tonight, you're like, I didn't come to have dinner and a show. Listen, God created you to be so much more than who you think you are. Some of you, you've been lied to, and the enemy has told you that you're not special. But see, God says something different. God says that you are special. God says you're His special creation, that you are His masterpiece. And yeah, just like the potter and the clay, yeah, God has to throw us on the wheel and shape us and mold us until we're what He created us to be. But that's the process. That's what Joseph had to go through, was the potter's wheel process. Just like in our recovery homes, we're in the process. We're not perfect, but we're heroes in the making. If you came here tonight and say, you know what, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like a hero. I don't feel like I can make a difference. I don't feel like I'm nobody. I don't feel like I have a calling or a purpose. Let me tell you something tonight. 15 years ago, I was a messed up person. I was a meth addict. Had no future. But then God turned my life around. And not only my life, but I see countless times God has came into somebody's life and turned their lives around. Listen, if God could do it for us, He could do it for you. If God could do it for us, He can do it for you. Don't think that God skipped you when He was handing out purpose and callings. Because He has a special purpose just for you. If that's you here tonight and you say, you know what, I want to be that hero God's called me to be. I want to learn how to rescue people. I don't want to be stuck in my chair. I want to stop hiding. Quit feeling sorry for myself. And become the hero that God has created me to be. If that's you, as we all stand to our feet. If God spoke to you, I want you to go ahead and make your way to these altars. Many of you are going to be pastors and evangelists one day. Many of you are going to be missionaries. Many of you are going to be the man of God that in your household, the woman of God that's going to pray your children in. Worship you tonight, God.
You are the risen King. I'm just seated in majesty. You are the risen King.
Whoa.
The risen King.